and thanks for joining us now on KVCR for KVC Arts, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, we'll hear from Albert Lopez talking about the band Wayward. Wayward, spelled with an O that is, was formed in 2018 by Albert reaching out to friends to help him play his music live and in the studio. Before it gets to that point though, Albert, is this kind of a Trent Reznor kind of thing with you really playing all of the instruments when it's in demo form, and then you have other people involved for when you need more than, well, just yourself?
Yeah, that's accurate. I mean, it's always been like that since the beginning because I guess the music has always been more in my head, and then I would get people to help me play it live, and then eventually it was like, okay, well, now that I have this established as like a live thing, why don't we go record it in the studio? So I do make all the parts, I make all the demos, and I play everything on the demos, and then I present it to everybody else.
Okay, and then you have a different lineup, and for that matter, a lineup that will change instruments depending on which song it is. Again, we'll address that after a bit, but it's a really cool sound, I have to say. I've been checking out the music, and as we go through this, we will certainly be bouncing around between Besides, which I suppose is your latest, and going back to your self-titled, and then there's amongst my favorites, the EP in the middle of it all, but let's go into it with the name, okay? Wayward, where did it come from, and please address the spelling.
Yeah, so, I mean, Wayward by definition is just, you know, hard to control, and it comes from a song that I used to listen to called Wayward Kids by the band Old Grey. At first, I thought like Wayward Kids was a cool name, and then I was like, no, that's really corny. Yeah. And so I was like, we should just rock with Wayward. And then as I kept looking at that name, there's already like a band with an A in it, and me just always overthinking and stressing about things. I was like, we'll just change the A to an O, so it sounds like Wayward, you know, like Wayward.
Nice.
It makes more sense in like a grammar sense, like way and word, so it just kind of stuck like that.
Excellent. Okay, well, that's really cool. And you know that every interview that's going to come up, you've set the bar for that one. So, we may have already heard examples by now, but I mentioned to a friend and coworker, her initials are Tony Lopez, that I really love, I mean, love how in many cases with your music, Albert, really, that goes on and on and on before the first word is sung. And when I told her that, she stared at me and said that she didn't know whether or not I was being serious. And I absolutely was. And I threw out Shine On You Crazy Diamond, a great example. You know, it's like 8 minutes and 33 seconds before we get their first words. And so I often ask this anyway, but when writing, is it music first for you often, or lyrics first? You know, say words that need a vehicle, or the other way around, the melody, which you want to take further with some lyrics. I'm sure it's a case of one or the other, but are there tendencies, I suppose?
It's always been music first. Like, Shine On You Crazy Diamond is a great example, because yeah. I've always been more of a fan of ambient music, and I love just being enthralled by the sound of music. So I always like to push myself to also have that same feeling when I'm writing, because I feel like lyrics and vocal melodies and all that stuff comes after the fact to me, because the way I write, is literally always I start on guitar and I always make something that is ear candy to me, something that clicks and something that I like listening to. Mm-hmm. And then after the fact is like, oh damn, I have to add lyrics to this if I want to play it live. It's always been like that.
I love that. Do you have any that have remained instrumentals, or might you be tempted by that in the future? Because there's nothing wrong with that, and people will love that and will groove on that just as much as anything else.
Absolutely. I mean, as of right now, I've been working on a new record, and on that record, there's already a couple instrumental tracks that will remain instrumental tracks because, yeah, you're right. I love instrumental tracks. I don't need to sing on every song, thankfully.
I'm really glad to hear that because, again, so much of what I enjoy about what I've heard from Wayward has been the music and what leads into the lyrics and the really interesting bridges in between a lot of the time. Your most recent release, is that still Besides at this point?
Yes.
Okay, we'll hit that in a bit, but first, the EP. I didn't know what I was feeling, but it all went away. Again, just please, let's start with addressing that title. That's, I don't know, it could be funny or it could be a lot deeper than I ever thought at the moment.
It had literally no meaning. we were just okay. At practice with my former bandmates back then. And I think when I wrote that EP, I was 16 or 17.
Oh.
And we were just like, man, what are we going to name this? And then my bass player at the time was just like, I don't know what I was feeling, but it all went away. And we all started laughing. I was like, okay.
I'm really glad it's something like that instead of some sort of, I don't know, teen angst kind of thing. It's like, I can't define this, but I had to put a label. No, I like this much better. It's just really funny. Now, for the most part, I see this as something stylistically different than what we get from Wayward much of the time. On this one, on the EP, the vocals are much more present. That is, you know, in the foreground. Much of the music, the vocals are very much another instrument, I think, with a lot of the music. But with the EP, I didn't know what I was feeling, but it all went away. I'm going to have to come up with a shorter way of saying that. It's very different. It's really more of a traditional approach as far as we've got the music and the vocals are out on top of that. My real question about this EP is what kept this one at 5 songs, you know, an EP as opposed to a full-length album?
So just the first thing with just the sound and all of the things.
Yes, please, please.
You know, I guess it really just comes from maturity at that point in myself as a songwriter. Mm. And I guess it also connects to the 5 songs because the way it sounded, it's like the final result, I think mostly came because back then I had never really approached recording and writing in a studio and I didn't even really know what I wanted.
Mm.
So I had reached out to somebody to record it. His name is Danny Nagarius and he recorded it. And I kind of let it be in his hands because I trusted the process. And also, you know, the music I listened to back then is completely different. My inspirations are completely different. And I just feel like it came out like that because I was just so young. I was just like, I guess this is how music needs to sound. And I didn't really develop myself as a songwriter in the sense that I knew what I wanted and what I wanted in production. And it came out like that. And I don't dislike it at all. I think it's definitely like a piece of me and my life. And like, we don't really play too many songs off of it anymore. We play like a couple. But it's still there because it's a piece of the stepping stone to get where I am now. And the reason it was 5 songs is just because that's all I had in me, honestly, back
okay.
then. I was like, okay, 5 songs, let's go.
Okay. Well, and that's cool, too. That, you know, that may be enough to say what you needed to say. But addressing that different sound, I really love it. I love what we get on I Didn't Know What I Was Feeling, But It All Went Away. And I also love the sound that we get with so much of the rest of what we get from Wayward. Tell me about the band, please, originally, let's say, how it came together. We were talking about grabbing people to play what you already had in your head. So talk about the initial band, how it came together. How did you as a songwriter even become a part of this whole band?
The way the original lineup came to be was it was just me and my friend Eric, just like a family friend, and we had grown up playing music together, but not like formally, just more like we would jam out and play covers all the time. And
oh, cool.
Eventually, I was getting inspired by the bands around me, and I noticed that there was like a local scene from where we were growing up, and I was always like thinking we could be a part of that, you know. And we had a friend, Jude, who lived nearby, and we were just like, why don't we try to start something? And we all came together and just started jamming out, messing around with things, and then I had this EP, and then it just kind of all came in through that. It was just like family friends and Jude is a friend from high school, and it kind of just all came into fruition like that.
So the bands that you were influenced by, it wasn't the big names from across the country. Your influences were the local music scene.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the influences from the local music scene was more like a push of, like, these people are doing it and I don't see why I can't do it too.
More the idea of it than the sound itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Way cool. Let's get to what I alluded to then, is that at some point you had a recording contract. This is something we could laugh about now, perhaps, or I don't know if it's still a bitter pill after all these years, but let's talk about this point with the band.
We were working with a label to release a full-length record, and I guess it was like in the midst of COVID, and I finally had a record ready. In COVID, I wrote this whole record, and it was finally time, and I was like, okay, like, I have my EDD saved up. I'm going to go to the studio, and I'm going to make a record. And it was, I think, like 3 months before we got to the studio, and everybody just kind of was like, life's kind of hitting us, too. It's time to start over. And pretty much everybody that I was involved with before just left, not because of any ill. It's more like, you know, they have their lives that they're ready to start. It was just when we were all turning like 19 to 20 and 18 and 19. So they were just trying to get the gist of it, you know, be ready for their futures. And obviously me being the way I am, I was not ready to let go and make a record. So same thing, just mutual friends. I reached out, and by the time the record was to be recorded, I had a full lineup ready and we had rehearsed and we kicked ass and we recorded a record.
So is this what then ended up being the self-titled record?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. There's, again, a number of really, really cool ones on that, and we'll get to that in a bit as well. But everybody, I mean everybody, seems to switch it up as far as what instrument they'll be playing from one gig to the next. And this is just, well, one, really cool. And I'd like to think that this would be a draw to get people to see what happens at the next gig kind of thing. They'll be talking about, hey, did he play this on this song or this on that gig or whatever. So the question about this, is this really because one person can speak better with, say, the keys instead of the bass on one song or another? Or is this really purely for the novelty aspect of it? Maybe both.
Well, honestly, at first it was like that because it was, like, availability.
Oh, okay.
Like, he can't make it to that gig. I guess I'm playing bass today. So, like, there's been a couple gigs where the bass player couldn't make it, so I didn't play guitar, I played bass. And then over the last few months, the lineup kind of got a refreshing just because I wanted to start new and fresh, and also because nobody's really permanent. Honestly, it's more like whoever can make it will make it. Up until recently, I've really locked in with the members that I currently have, and it's kind of like, okay, well, the bass player used to play bass, but he's always had an interest in playing guitar, so if I'm going to restart this lineup, why don't I get his ass on guitar? And then he was like, all four, he's like, yeah, I'd love to start playing guitar. And then we just kind of switch around in the studio. Like, in the studio as recently, like, the new bass player plays keys on some songs. The guitar player plays bass on some songs. I play bass on some songs. And it's more like, you know, who has the best feel and the best idea for this moment in this part of the track with which instrument? And that's what goes on the record, and that's what goes on live. It's like, if you feel best playing that, you should play it.
Oh, nice. Wow. Of all people, you wouldn't believe this, but I was thinking about the Commodores as you were speaking about this, because that's actually what they did. I wish I had very detailed liner notes in front of me as I was going through this, because there were a few times that we were just talking about the bass. There are a few times where the bass is doing runs all up and down the fret. It's not just giving the bass, as it were, the bass chords for whatever song was going on. And I really wanted to address some of those, but I don't know which one it was and which person it was. Now, on the song Pop, this one addresses something that we spoke of a bit ago. The words don't come in until the song has been going for quite some time. And then even after the words, we go into a kind of a bridge and then return to the jam. At the end of it, though, we get the most stripped down take yet. And was this as written or something realized after the fact? You know the point I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. For Pop, yeah, it was more after the fact. I remember recording that in the studio, and I felt like what you said, you know, the song doesn't ever have anything stripped down besides there's like a little pause and there's a little break. But the outro, I thought, you know, it's better if it's just one guitar by itself to really set the mood and just be more of like a goodbye to the whole song. Mm. And I just wanted it to be like its own moment.
Try anything.
Why pop, by the way? Just as a title. I'm not sure if I missed something or if it has. Oh, I hesitate to say this to anyone because I respect your music, but it has a pop sense to it that people could latch onto and love. Maybe I should qualify that. Often I'll be like, ew, this is like bubblegum pop music. And I'm not saying that about your stuff, but when I say the word pop, I feel like I'm flirting dangerously with saying that you're like a pop band. You're the furthest thing from it. So why pop for the title of this one?
You said it perfectly. It has pop sensibilities.
Okay.
So when I wrote the song, I'm like, oh, this is ear candy. It's poppy. Pop.
Okay. You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Albert Lopez of Wayward. Find many past KVC Arts programs via podcasts through iTunes, NPR One, Spotify, and Google Play. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Back now to KVC Arts. I'm David Fleming. Let's go back to my conversation with Albert Lopez of Wayward. Wayward is the music of Albert Lopez, but realized through other musicians. So, Albert, the rest of the band, let's start with DeRon. You initially met him at a rehearsal or jam session and then just sort of hit it off.
Yeah, I met DeRon through just a jam session I had with my friend Anthony, and we finished the rehearsal, we went outside, and we just kind of kicked it for a while, talked about music, and then literally 2 weeks later, the world shut down, and me and DeRon just kept in touch through Zoom, and we would have like Zoom jam sessions where we would just send each other our GarageBand files, and then he would open it on his computer, and I would open his on my computer, and we would just make ideas back and forth.
So this would be, I guess, what, like January 2020 or something like that, and I'm really having to assign that now to the timeline of some of this, because some of it would be released right before COVID, but written a few years before that, and then other items would have been how you were occupying yourself during COVID, I suppose. Probably a lot of music that I've been exposed to recently would be from that period. The rest of the band, I know that several of the rest of the band members, they were all former fans. That is, they liked the initial iteration of the band, even being at the EP release party and all, or even all of them. The people that you're playing with now, do you have a sense of this is the band, or is it still very much a fluid thing? I mean, it's really you, and then whoever you gather to play at the live gigs, or do you have pretty much a strong sense of who's in, quote, the band right now?
Yeah, I feel like right now is like such a good feel. I feel like right now is the move. You know, I never really took as much trust into other people as much as I have recently. And I think that the band is the band now.
Okay. It's always a great realization. Now, I guess this may be a good time to talk about, one, are all of your releases purely digital download, or do you actually have physical hard copies as well?
We never really came around to making things physical. I guess for us, it's always been harder to budget all of that stuff out because it's so, even post-COVID, it's so hard to just get things made. I mean, eventually, the record that I'm working on right now, I'd love to make a record, like a vinyl record of it, and maybe put out some CDs, but that's all just like goals right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope it's able to happen. There are plenty of people out there that still appreciate having the hard copy, and even with albums especially that include a lyric sheet to go with it, it's something that I would like to hopefully see. And besides that, and quite plainly and simply and practically speaking, it's something that you can sell at your gigs. And if nothing else, sometimes you can hand it to the person. I think I referred to it to another band recently as a $2 business card, in essence. And so I hope that happens. And so with that said, where can people find these digital downloads? Let's talk about where people can follow you. I know there's not a website just yet, is there?
No, not yet.
Okay, is that in the works? And let me just attach please to that. Do you have a website on its way?
For sure, for the next record we're doing it a little bit more professionally and having a better rollout for everything. So yeah, 100% a website's on the list of things that we're going to crack down on.
Well, then beyond the website, Wayward can be found through a Linktree, and that is linktr.ee/wayward. And a reminder that Wayward is spelled here with an O at the end, not an A. Thank you, Albert. What are other places, other ways that people can follow you, that they can find the music, find announcements for upcoming shows?
Instagram is the best way. I mean, that's how I've always gotten everything out. So Instagram is our main platform. That's like our website. That's where anything and everything we do is going to be posted, is on our Instagram, which is just WaywardCA.
Okay, WaywardCA. Let's talk about some of the upcoming gigs that you do have. And these are all over Southern California, really, including one with Astronaut Samurais. They were on the show fairly recently. And Coachella with the Red Pairs. Let's talk about upcoming gigs.
Yeah, I have Coachella this next weekend playing with the Red Pairs. And that's going to be crazy. You know, that's still very surreal. I play guitar for them. That's my other gig. And I got so many gigs in May. I mean, I end April with one Wayward gig at the Paramount with 60 Juno, Mr. Poi Larry, and that's going to be a really cool show. And then May is just slammed. I mean, there's still some shows that I haven't even announced yet, but pretty much every weekend in May is going to be a show. Like May 4th, yeah, we're doing The Smell with Astronaut Samurai, and that's going to be awesome. I love Alberto. He's a great friend of mine. I saw him just this last weekend. And then we have a run with Make Out Reef and Bed, which is just going to be 4 days in San Luis Obispo, San Francisco, LA, and San Diego. And then we have a couple more things coming out by the end of the month that we'll announce when we're allowed to.
Then the best way to stay on top of when and where these gigs are, that would be through Instagram, Wayward with no, Wayward CA.
Yep.
Okay, very good. You just released Besides. Now, this is a compilation of demos from 2021 and 2022. I read that you referred to those songs as having been written during the most evolving time in your life. Isolated and alone, the first time you fell in love. Talked about this time. This was 2021, 2022, I guess in the middle of and going toward the end of COVID.
Yeah, that time in my life, I was just really figuring out, because, you know, at the end of COVID, after coming back and being at my age, I mean, I just turned 19, and the second COVID was over, I went back to getting a job and getting my life back together. It was just more like a time of figuring out what I really wanted to do with myself, figuring out my future, and figuring out if I really wanted to pursue music and try to, like, see where I can go with that, or if I wanted to just work a job and be locked in. And that time for me was super stressful, and it was like really a lot of realization for me figuring out what would be my future and what I wanted. And that's also the time that I met my girlfriend Anna, and it was just a time that involved for me not really knowing what I wanted, not really being secure with my future, to locking in and being happy and having somebody to push me with my dreams.
When a group or an artist puts out a full-length album, they hopefully put some thought into the flow or the ebb and flow an album should have. But as Besides is a collection of demos, I would imagine they're all over the place thematically. Maybe or maybe not, you can address that as well, but hopefully there still is logic to the track sequencing as far as what was started, why. Again, though, these are singles, so they may not be connected.
Yeah, well, like, Pop and Irrational are definitely connected to, like, the demos EP. I mean, they're both on there as well, and I feel like the only reason that they're out the way that they're out is because those were, like, the two songs from the demos that I felt had potential. But for me, like, the whole thing of Besides is kind of like a track list of, if it was a record, that's how the record would play out.
All right. And now, was it a matter of going back and listening and deciding, you know, just one striking you and just realizing this needs to get out there besides some single that I put out some time ago? Was there a song that struck you as far as needing to put together an album? Or was it a case of really, hey, I've amassed a certain amount of songs here. I've got enough for a full length.
It was more like my girlfriend had always heard these demos and pushed me to put them out. And I had them always sitting there. And I had them on SoundCloud as like a record for a long time.
Mm.
Just like they were all demos. But she always was like, you should just put it out on Spotify. You should always put it out. And so I actually uploaded that whole entire thing. I think I was in New Hampshire on tour with the Red Pairs at that time. And I just went on my phone and uploaded all of it. And I was like, yeah, like this feels like a record to me, something I'm proud of to put together in this track format and everything. And I just uploaded it like that.
For this edition of KVC Arts, it's been conversation with Albert Lopez and the music of Wayward. A lot of dates coming up in the near future, including this weekend at Coachella. And the best way at this point to stay on top of performance dates is through Instagram. That's at WaywardCA. That's Wayward spelled with an O, WayWordCA. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Albert Lopez, and here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Shireen Awad, and a big thanks once again to Tony Lopez. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. Find many past KVC Arts programs via podcast through iTunes, NPR One, Spotify, and Google Play. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. The on-air portion of our spring membership campaign begins Wednesday, and we hope you can help us chip away at the goal before we even go on the air and help us wrap it up as soon as possible. Give any time at kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.